Good morning, church. Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4 will be in verses 12 through 19. We've returned to our study in 1 Peter the last couple weeks, and we've said that the whole book is about people who are suffering. Peter is wanting to encourage them to put their hope in the Lord, even through seasons of suffering and trials. And he really wants to encourage these guys and us as well to hold fast to the Lord. When things aren't going our way, when persecution comes, when we experience various things, trials that we go through in life, he's saying, hey, cling tight to the living hope that you have through the gospel. Remember that one of the themes is that we are exiles in this world. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, this world is not your home. Your truest home is in heaven with God, and one day we will be with him. And Peter wants us to remember that this is our true destiny. This is where we will be forever with God. And so he wants us to view all of life in light of that reality. And so last week we saw that he was encouraging us in light of this, in light of Christ's soon return. He says, church, use your spiritual gifts to be a blessing to the body. Don't use them for your own glory. Use them to build up the people of God. And I've been so encouraged to see so many of you doing that in this season and in the church when we gather. It's so sweet to see people say, you know what, I'm going to take ownership and I'm going to use the gifts that God has given me for the body of Christ and for God's glory. And then we pick it up today in verse 12, and we'll be looking till verse 19. The title of this sermon is Making Sense of Suffering. Let's read in verse 12. It says this: Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or a thief, or an evildoer, or as a meddler. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if the righteous is scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. This is what we'll be looking at this morning. And like I said, I titled this sermon Making Sense of Suffering because I believe in this section, Peter addresses how we can do that. He doesn't say that we'll have all of our questions answered surrounding why people suffer and why we suffer, but he's going to help us walk through and process through suffering in our lives. And how is it for you that you make sense of suffering when it enters your life? What are the things that you tend to tell yourself about God, about yourself, and about the situation? You know, for some people, they might say, well, God must not love me if he's allowing me to go through this. God must be mad at me if I'm experiencing this. I must have done something wrong to deserve this. But what we see from life is that, right, life isn't merely about what happens to you. It's about what you tell yourself about what's happening to you, how you interpret what it is that's going on in you and around you. And so when we suffer, the lens by which we view our suffering plays such an important part in how we process through it. And what happens if our view of our suffering, if we view it through the wrong lens, is that we end up misinterpreting what has actually happened to us. Again, I'm not saying that we're going to have all the answers answering that question, why, right? Why is this happening to me? Why is God allowing this? But I am saying that if we view our suffering through the right lens, we'll be able to process through it in a healthy way, in a way that brings God glory. And I think what Peter wants to do here is to provide us with a lens or a perspective that can help us face suffering when it comes our way. He's going to provide us with a perspective that goes beyond trying to merely escape suffering and give us one that allows us to see how God is moving even in the midst of our suffering. God is accomplishing something glorious in us when we suffer. And that's really the message that I want to focus in on today. Up to this point in his letter, Peter has been speaking to these believers about the trials that they were presently going through. They were experiencing what we would consider normal forms of persecution. But beginning in chapter 4, verse 12, where we pick it up today, there seems to be a shift. He begins to address the fiery trial that these believers would go through in the near future. Warren Wiersbe says this regarding what they were about to experience. He says it would not be occasional personal persecution from those around them, but official persecution from those above them. End quote. This would be a persecution that would be inflicted by Rome. It would be brought on by Nero and then carried out by the other emperors who followed after him. And so for these believers, they were facing the very real threat of losing their lives. They were facing this threat of being a part of extreme persecution in the early church. And Peter wants them to be ready for the fiery trial that's coming their way. Now, I understand that most of us are not in this same situation. I get that. We're not, most of us, going to die for our faith, at least at this stage in history. However, many of us will experience other forms of fiery trials in our lives. The untimely death of a loved one. The diagnosis that seemed to come out of nowhere. The career that doesn't seem to be panning out the way you thought it would. The struggle of being single while wanting to be in a relationship, the sin in your life that you can't seem to shake and feel like will always be a part of you. Brothers and sisters, we all will experience fiery trials in our lives in one form or another. And in this section, Peter wants to help us navigate through these times. The first thing I want us to see in verses 12 through 14 is that God desires to change the way we think about suffering. God desires to change the way we think about suffering, and I think it starts here. Many of us think of suffering as something to be avoided at all costs, right? That's natural. That's our natural response. Or if we're suffering, we want to rush out of that place as soon as possible. We think that the good life contains minimal suffering and maximum comfort. The dream for many of us is to have a comfortable life with as little suffering as possible. Right? Who wouldn't want that life? And so because this is our hope and this is our expectation at times, we're oftentimes surprised when suffering comes our way. And so it's interesting that the first thing Peter tells us here is don't be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you. The very first thing he says, he understands our natural reaction to suffering, and so he addresses that right from the get-go. He says, hey, don't be surprised by the suffering that's coming. We don't live in fear of all the what-ifs of what could happen if this person dies or what happens if I get sick. We don't live in fear of those things. We walk by faith, but we have this expectation that we're not exempt from suffering. And we want to set that expectation for us as believers that, hey, we will encounter suffering in this life. Jesus was very clear about that. And what Peter's saying is that suffering is a normative part of the Christian life. Suffering isn't reserved for the dedicated or the people who are martyrs. This is actually a part that every Christian gets to share in. And if we don't understand this, then we'll be taken off guard when trials come our way. Think about your own life. Think about when you've been blindsided by a trial or a situation, or maybe the pandemic that we find ourselves in currently. No one's expecting that. And Jesus promised us, in this world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. Jesus says, trials are a sure thing. They're going to happen. You're going to go through them. But I'm bigger than anything you will ever face in this life. The psalmist says, because your loving kindness is better than life, therefore my lips will praise you. He says there's something greater than the things of this life, and that would include the trials and the tribulations that come our way in this life. And that is that God is sovereign over every area of our lives, and he's sovereign over even the suffering that we experience in this life. Many times people will follow Christ for a certain amount of time. But once trials come in, once they start to suffer, people might make fun of them for being a Christian, or they lose someone close to them. They go through some personal struggles, and they begin to fall away. And Peter wants his readers to avoid that. He wants to prepare them for the day that's coming, so that when it comes, they'll be ready. When the fiery trial comes upon them, they won't be taken by surprise, because they've been preparing for it. And even though suffering in this regard might seem foreign to many of us, we must ready our hearts. We must prepare ourselves to suffer. This isn't something that we look for. We're not trying to be weird and like, man, I just really want to suffer. But understanding that when it comes, all suffering that comes our way is filtered through the loving hand of our God. And so if it's his will that we suffer, we can trust him in that. We can trust that he's doing something in the midst of that. Look at what verse 13 says here in chapter 4. It says, but rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. What Peter says here is that joy is possible in the midst of suffering. And actually, joy is commanded in the midst of suffering. This is so mind-boggling for us. How is this even possible? What we have to recognize is that we're not suffering alone. We're actually sharing in the sufferings of Christ. The way that he phrases it here and the way that Paul phrases it in Philippians 1, it's almost like suffering is a gift that God allows you to take part of. This is such a different way of viewing it. And so suffering in this way is an invitation to go deeper with Christ. As you share in his sufferings, you're going deeper into the life of God. Christianity is a faith that's wrapped up in the cross, right? We just celebrated Easter. Good Friday, Jesus comes, he dies for us, he rises again. But really, the cross is the central part of Christianity. And oftentimes we have a romanticized view of the cross. I don't know how you view the cross, but sometimes in my mind it's nice and clean. It has perfect dimensions. Maybe there's some light that's beaming from it. What we don't tend to see is the nails that are driven into it, the blood dripping from it, the Son of God hanging upon it. The immense suffering that's involved in the cross. And so for us, many times we want the benefits of the cross without the demands of the cross, right? And we understand the cross is something that Jesus died on for our sins. We know that. But do you realize that there's a cross that's waiting for you as well? Listen to what Jesus said in Luke 9:23. He says, if anyone desires to come after me, let him take up his cross daily and follow me. Right? We don't pick up our cross to pay for our sins. We pick up our cross so that we might follow Jesus. And that means that I must die to myself and my desire to be Lord of my life. I must die to the desire to be in control. my desire to be right, my desire to seek comfort more than Christ. This is a call to take up your cross every day, to die to what you want, to live for the will of God. Why? Because this is part of what it means to be a Christian. We don't just profess our belief in Christ. We demonstrate the reality of that profession by walking in the footsteps of Christ. The one who says, if you want to follow me, you've got to take up your cross daily, deny yourself, and follow me. And Peter wants us to know what it means to be a Christian. Look with me at the second part of verse 13. We see that the suffering that we experience now will have a direct impact on the joy we experience in heaven. It says, but rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. The tougher this life is for you, the more you look forward to the joy that's coming. Think about many of our brothers and sisters throughout the world in places where they're enduring persecution, things that you couldn't imagine. They're in prison. People are saying, hey, if you renounce your faith, you can go free. They're saying, no, I'll never renounce. They're losing loved ones. This is real, and this is happening today throughout the world. This is very foreign for us, but we need to understand that this is a reality and that the Bible calls us to remember those who are in prison, remember those who are being persecuted, because we're all part of the body of Christ. It's not just the local expression at church or in Santa Barbara. The church and understanding of the body of Christ means that my brothers and sisters in Iran, in China, people that are being persecuted in the Middle East, these are our brothers and sisters in Christ, and they are experiencing persecution. And we have to remember them in our prayers. But imagine this. Think about the joy that they're going to have when Christ returns. The more you suffer now, the more you look forward to the glory that's coming. That's what Peter's saying. And verse 14 tells us that those who suffer for Christ will experience the presence of Christ in a special way. Notice, it says if you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed or you are happy because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. There is a special blessing, a special experience that many of our brothers and sisters throughout the world get to enjoy with the Lord, those who are suffering for their faith. And we see this even in the book of Acts, as Stephen was being martyred, the first recorded martyr. He looks up into heaven. He sees Jesus. He sees the glory of God. He sees Jesus standing there. Jesus is about to welcome him into glory. And Stephen sees the Lord. In that moment, moments before he dies, he gets this experience of the presence of God in a powerful way. I love that phrase there. The Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. Some of you might think, man, if someone put a gun in my head and said, man, do you believe in Jesus? Will you renounce your faith or will you hold fast? And you're like, I don't know if I would hold fast to my faith. That would be tough for me. I'm going to be honest. Know this, that in those moments, the Spirit of glory and of God will rest upon you. God will give you grace in that moment to stand fast. This is the goodness of our God upon us. He gives grace to those who need it. He gives grace in our times of need. And he meets us there. In verses 15 through 18, we see that when we suffer as Christians, we witness to the world about the reality of Christ. When we suffer as Christians, we witness to the world about the reality of Christ. Peter says, but let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a meddler. He says, make sure that the reason why you're suffering isn't tied to you being sinful or retaliatory. Right, if someone is persecuting you, the temptation might be to lash out, to get vengeance, to take matters into your own hands. If you experience suffering for being a jerk, that's on you. Don't act like you're suffering for the cause of Christ when you're really just expressing your sinful nature. And the truth is that we can do this from time to time. But what Peter's saying here, hey, this is sin and it needs to be repented of. The watching world is drawing conclusions about Christ as they examine our lives. Notice the contrast in verse 16. Peter says, yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. This is only one of three times the Bible mentions the word Christian, and it's linked to suffering. The word has the idea of a Christ one belonging to Christ. And when Peter says here, hey, don't be ashamed when you suffer for Christ, but glorify God. This is an encouragement for us. Hey, when you endure, when people make fun of you, when people persecute you, they don't want to hang out with you because they think you're no fun. Don't be ashamed, but glorify God in that name. See, people look at our lives and I think about it like a telescope, right? They're looking through the lens of our lives, and what we want to do is show them the greatness of God. When you look through a telescope, it's different than looking at a microscope, right? When you look through a microscope, you're looking at something that's tiny and you're seeing it a little bit bigger. You're trying to see the details of how it is. When you look through a telescope, right, you look from a distance and it's like, man, you can't even see that star or that planet. But when you go through a telescope, what happens? You see the grandeur of it. You see the majesty of it. You see how big it actually is, how great it actually is. And this is really the hope for us as believers, that people would look through the lens of our lives and they would say, wow, God is so great. I may not line up with what they believe, but I can't deny it when I look at their lives and how they're living. See, suffering gives us an opportunity to testify to the reality of our faith. Verse 17 and 18 says, for it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if the righteous is scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Peter begins to speak about the righteous and the unrighteous and saying, hey, the righteous is scarcely saved. Think about what will become of the ungodly and the sinner. He says that judgment begins with believers. The world would judge and condemn many Christians to death. If Christians suffer now at the hands of the ungodly in this life, what will happen when the ungodly are judged in the next life? One author asks this question. He says, if God sends a fiery trial to his own children and they are saved with difficulty, what will happen to lost sinners when God's fiery judgment falls? This is something that we must keep at the forefront of our minds. Because when we suffer, the tendency is for us to merely look at our own situation. Rarely do we think, I wonder what God is trying to do in this season. I wonder who God is trying to reach in this season, in me going through what I'm going through. What if my suffering isn't about me? What if it's about someone else coming into the kingdom? God's ways are far above our ways. And when we try to make suffering, we try to make sense out of suffering with our own finite brains, we find ourselves frustrated, unable to comprehend all the reasons why God might have us going through what we're going through. But when we say, Lord, I want to look to you. I want to trust that you have a plan in this. I want to trust that you're doing something in my life, that you're allowing me to testify to your goodness even as I'm going through suffering, and even as questions abound and as I'm struggling with doubt. Help me to testify to your faithfulness. And I believe that God uses the scars and the deep things that we go through to help bring people to him. Oftentimes, we want to capitalize off our strengths, but I think God really moves in our weaknesses. And it's the brokenness that we've gone through and the stories that we have that are the hardest times of our lives that really minister to people where they're at. Those are the things that people need to hear. Those are the things that they relate with. And so I'd encourage you, if God has moved in a powerful way in your life, if you're just like, you know what, there's this part of me that I don't really want to share with people, I would encourage you, and I know it's tough for me too, I would encourage us, let's say, hey, let's step out and share and be vulnerable about where we've been and what God's delivered us from, because you never know who God wants to deliver next. We must remember that the people around us need to know Jesus, that we're heading towards the day when every single person will stand before the throne of God. We will all be judged by God. And this life is the only time people have to get right with God. And so this must move us to pray. Our hearts must break for people. And we must know that God is sovereign and he's in control and he's mighty to save and that no one's too far from him. These are the people who God desires to save. And it might take you going through some suffering so that they might see Christ in a new way. Think about the suffering of Christ. What happened as Christ suffered? Christ went to the cross and suffers for us. And through that act, he brings salvation to his people. And now we have the opportunity to share in his sufferings. And the hope is that as we live our lives, it's easy to praise God, it's easy to worship God when things are going good. It's a little more difficult when things aren't going so great. But people are looking and saying, what do they really believe? Let's see the reality of their faith, because oftentimes it's seeing in the face of suffering. The last thing Peter calls us to in verse 19 is that we're to continue to trust God through seasons of suffering. Look at that last verse in 19. He says, therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. This is the last thing I want to give us today. Some of you are in a season where you are suffering currently. Maybe people don't even know, but maybe there's a battle that you have that's a secret battle that you just like, man, I'm going through it right now. I feel like I'm going through the fire. And I just want to encourage you, keep trusting God even when life doesn't make sense. Keep trusting God even when no one understands you. Keep going forward with the Lord. Bring your doubts to him. Bring your struggles to him. Be honest about how hopeless you feel. But know that you can continue to trust him because he's working in you, and he'll complete the work that he begun in you. This is one of the things that we must hold on to. When we feel like we're letting go of Jesus, that we're losing our faith, we've got to remember, you know what? God has begun this work in me, and he's promised to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. You didn't start the work, God did, and God will be the one who finishes it. God will be the one who will see you through to the end. He's the one who says, I'll present you faultless before the Father. You'll be blameless. For those of you who are struggling to hold on, for those of you who are struggling to trust God in this season, and maybe you're not in that season yet, maybe it's coming. When you get there, know that God will be faithful to you, that he'll see you through, that ultimately he's demonstrated his love to you at the cross. He's given you the most precious thing, his son. And if he has not spared his son, Romans 8 says, How will he not with him freely give us all things? God is not trying to hold out on us. He wants us to walk in the newness of life. He wants us to walk and be a part of the blessed life. And he wants to define for us what that means. Sometimes it will mean suffering. Sometimes it will mean suffering according to the will of God. But from that, God will bring fruit. God will change us and he'll transform us. And so when we look back 10,000 years from now, we'll praise God for these moments. We'll praise God for the fiery trial. I love in the book of Daniel, there is a story. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they get thrown into the fiery furnace. And I think it's just such a good illustration of what happens when we go through trials. The king threw them in there as a punishment. He intended to harm them, but God had a different intention in mind. And as they're thrown in the fire, it says that there was one like a son of man who was among them. Many people believe this is Jesus. As they're thrown in the fire, as we are thrown in the fire, Jesus is with us in the midst of that. You might think that, man, this fire, it's hot. I feel like my faith will be destroyed. I feel like I'm just wilting away. And God's saying, no, I'm refining you. And when we look at that story, we see that they're thrown in and they're bound. And when they come out, the only thing that's burned off, the only thing that's removed is the things that bound them, those ropes. And I think as we go through the fire, God desires to bring freedom to us. He desires to set us free and say, hey, you're not going to be harmed, but the things that are slowing you down, the sins that you're clinging to, I will use the fire of affliction to melt those things away so that you'll be brought forth as gold. When Christ comes back, we'll be purified. We'll be ready to meet him. And so this is what God's doing. I pray that we would continue to trust in him. As it says there, that we would entrust our souls to a faithful creator while doing good. That we wouldn't grow weary in doing good. That we would keep our eyes on him and we go forward. And if you need prayer, please don't hesitate to ask. Call us. Send us a message. We love to pray for you. We love you guys. We look forward to seeing you soon. The Lord bless you. Father, I pray that you would just impress these truths on our heart, God. For those who haven't been through a lot of suffering, I know for myself personally, I haven't really experienced, like when I look at some people's lives, I'm like, man, some people have really been through it. I feel like I haven't been through that much yet in my life, but I pray for wherever we find ourselves in this season, God, I pray that you would help us to prepare ourselves, God, to encounter it, and that we would really grow our relationship with you right now, God, so that when suffering comes, we would know what to do, Father. We would turn to you. We would build on the foundation that we've been building on when things have been good. So wherever we're at, Father, for those who are just going through it right now, I pray your comfort over them, Lord. I pray that the Holy Spirit would just bring hope and encouragement and that you would allow them to see what you're doing in this season, God, and that you'd shape them and form them, God. And I pray that you'd use the things that we go through, God, to reach people as we suffer, as we go through trials, that you would help us, God, to reach out to other people and that we would always be ready to give an answer, Lord, to the people who ask of us a reason for the hope that's within us. With gentleness and respect, God, give us opportunities this week in the season, Lord, to be a blessing to people, to reach out, to just say, hey, man, can I pray for you? How are you doing? To really love on people, Lord. So we pray you be lifted up in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.